Talking today with Michael Kelsey of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Michael, these last few weeks have really been tough on a lot of our producers, especially in some of our eastern counties where we've had so much rain. We've had historic flooding in some locations. I don't know if we how much death loss we've had, but we've had a lot of disruption on our cattle herds.
Yeah, there really has. And you know, the death loss has – we have no idea. We've heard some individual numbers that have just been horrid. But from a big industry standpoint or a statewide industry, we just haven't heard and probably won't for a while. Flooding is so much different than wildfires. You know, in Oklahoma, unfortunately, we're kind of used to the tragedies and the natural disasters. Wildfire has been what we've had for the past several years. But it burns and it leaves you and it's done. And then you can kind of assess what you need to get done, the fences you've lost, etc. Flooding is completely different. And we still have some folks who just haven't even been able to get back in. Or they can get in, but there's fields that are underwater still. And so fencing is going to be a huge issue, obviously. The replacement of the forage, of the grass, because when grass is underwater that long, most of the time it dies out. And so the replacement of that forage is going to be a big challenge. So maybe some similarities with wildfire, but completely different in terms of the timelines and so forth. FSA has been great to work with, but again, those timelines are just different in industry and interesting in how we deal with that. As far as our foundation is concerned, we've been very successful in folks putting in some dollars and very generous to contribute some funds. Not as much as the wildfire in terms of total dollars. I think that's a result of the flooding is way more widespread across multiple states: Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas. I mean, there's just a lot of the beef belt, the grain belt, wheat, corn that are just negatively impacted because of the floods. And so it's going to be a challenge to come out of this. We're talking to members about haying. We just haven't started putting up much hay yet this year. Can't get into the hay fields. It's there, and we're blessed to have it there, but we just can't get in to get it. And so our hay supplies are almost all gone. We've had producers calling saying, if I had hay, I would ship it to somebody, but I don't have any hay and I feel terrible about that. Well, they can't do anything about it, but their generosity is kicking in, but they just don't have any hay. And so hopefully we'll be able to get in the fields here soon and maybe we'll get a reprieve on the rain and start putting up some hay for themselves as well as the industry as a whole. So very unique challenges.
I guess some of the infrastructure that is hit hard by floods, that's a little bit of a different animal. And it's a different part of the state because these are primarily eastern counties that have been hit the hardest.
Yeah, that's right. And some even in our western. And I'm glad you brought up infrastructure because, boy, there has been some challenges there too, especially in our stocker industry. A lot of folks in stocker cattle have had, depending upon how they run cattle, if they're on grass or if they're on wheat pasture or what they may be on. But here lately, we've had a lot of folks. We're getting some calls about how they had cattle ready to go to sell and on such and such week, but some rains came in, washed out some roads. They couldn't get trucks into them and so forth. And so 2 weeks later, they can finally get the trucks in. The market dropped $10, $15, $20. Nothing they did, nothing that, you know, it, but because they couldn't get the cattle out in time and when they wanted to, then the market instability turned around and whacked them on the rear side, if you will, and just really kind of devastated them to a point. And so, again, some isolated incidents, but overall, that's when you balance in or try to balance in the market volatility. Excuse me, along with all this weather that we're having, it's a really difficult time in the cattle industry here in Oklahoma. Now, all that being said, trying to be optimistic, there's a lot of grass out there, a lot of grass out there, and we know that cattle do very well on grass. And so trying to be optimistic, we're probably going to hold, I think from a stocker standpoint or from a calf, when we wean those calves, we may be looking at holding calves a little longer than what we have in the past or traditionally. Just because we have the forage, who knows what the corn market's going to do. Our friends up north can't get the corn in the ground. And so that may push us to hold cattle a little longer this year on grass or something along those lines. I think we have to be flexible, but we are blessed to have a lot of grass right now.
I guess what at the end of the day for our cattle producers out there, they you kind of have used the word flexibility in a lot of cases. You know that they've got to really kind of look at their situation and then kind of maybe roll with some of these punches.
That's absolutely correct, and it's very individualistic. But I had a good friend who was a banker up in Nebraska when I was up at the Nebraska Cattlemen, and he made a comment that has really stuck with me throughout since I heard him say that, and is, don't make a decision that if you're wrong, it puts you out of business. And in this time right now, that probably is some really good advice. That's not mine. I wish I could take credit for it because it's really good. But, you know, my good friend said that. And if you think, stop and think about, okay, I don't want to extend myself so much or put myself in a position that if I'm wrong, I'm out of business. Now that can be tough to know exactly what to do. And you said it, flexibility is going to be the key. We have to work with what we have, manage with what we have and do the best that we can do. And maybe even look for some new opportunities, some new ideas out there that, new partnerships, whatever the case may be that, might be beneficial in these kinds of times. So it's going to be an interesting year to say the least.
For somebody wanting to maybe make a contribution to the foundation, how do they do that?
Yeah, there's a couple ways you can do that. You can give us a call here at the office, and we can take that over the phone using a credit card or so forth. Our website is set up as well. You can go online and contribute directly there, or you can just mail a check here to the office, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association office. We house the foundation within the office, so the addresses are the same. But you can just make sure if you do mail in a check, person mails in a check that they designate on the it's Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation. And in the memo, flooding relief or flooding fund, something along those lines. But we appreciate it. We've had some significant contributions here lately. We're going to do the same thing as far as an application process that we did with the wildfire. The interesting thing, though, and I would want to mention this, Ron, is, you know, with the wildfires, we tried to say, okay, and we were successful in doing this twice. Within 90 days, we're going to write checks to folks to get them some aid. We're not going to be able to do that with the floods because we've still got folks who haven't been able to get back in. They haven't even been able to assess their damage, you know, how much fence they have gone, how much corrals have been impacted, how much grass they're going to have to replace. And so we're going to have to be flexible on that and give folks a chance to inventory where they are and then give us an application so we can try to get them some aid that's targeted that will help them keep their feet under them. So we're going to have to be patient and flexible as well, but we want to do that as quickly as we can once we know we can assess the damage and get some folks some aid.